Welcome to the Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a Maxwell Leadership Facilitator and Coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Executive Vice President of Maxwell Leadership. Welcome and thank you for joining. If you'd like to download today's learner notes, or if you are interested in talking a little bit about the five levels of leadership, which is really the foundation, the methodology that we use in all organizations around the world as we help them with the culture of their company and their people and their organization, please go to maxwellleadership.com/podcast and then click on this lesson. And in this lesson, you'll see a form where you can submit that and our team will receive that. We would love to hear from you. Well, today we're going to talk about the 10 commandments of confrontation. And I love this. This is something that we talked a little bit about in our last episode. And it's something that we all need to continually talk about and continually learn from. And we actually have a training that we actually call Difficult Conversations, where we discuss John's 10 commandments. And so we've all had those painful conversations. We all have those memories to where we've had a conversation with a family member, a peer, maybe it's even a leader where this didn't go the right way. And it was very awkward, the confrontation was. And so we want to give you some tips that maybe kind of recorrect that going forward, because we don't want to disappoint others. I think at the root of us connecting with and communicating and confronting others, we don't do it to disappoint or frustrate others. We really do it, hopefully with proper intent. And so we're going to go through and talk a little bit about the commandments that we have here to talk about from confrontation side.
Yeah, I was delivering this last week, so I was deep into this. And I do notice in almost every audience, there's one that says, I love confrontation. I live for it. And then I use that great Dr. Phil line. I said, how's that working for you? Because generally, if you're really good at confrontation, you've got problems at that level two relationship side of things. So, having a difficult conversation is something we as leaders need to step up to. You cannot let that linger. But it's not something to be avoided. It's essential to great leadership. And I believe these 10 commandments, John wrote this, and I had not seen it recently. I pulled it out. I go, some of these are going to be very common sense, but I thought a couple of them required, we could dig into them a little bit. So why don't you start us off and we'll go quickly through these 10.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, they are simple. They're simply profound. And I think as you think about the context here, it'll help you in some of the conversations that we need to be having and having often. The first one is, thou shalt confront others in private. Mm. And when I read this, I go, well, that hasn't always happened to me when I think about being confronted. And we've all had that. We've all had that experience where, someone has done this in public and you felt embarrassed. You felt shamed in front of others. And that's the worst thing that we want our team or the people that we're communicating with to feel. And so just make sure that you're doing this in private. I love the fact that, we can lift up properly people in public, but have these conversations in private.
Yeah, very. You think it makes a lot of sense, but sometimes we trigger and we say things it shouldn't happen.
Right.
So number two, thou shalt confront as soon as possible and not look for a better time. And again, I think we're all guilty of this sometimes, that there's nothing worse than delaying confrontation to a later time. It causes confusion, can send a message that what happened wasn't that important. One thing I've learned is that people are watching and they're thinking if you're letting it go, it must be okay, or your favoritism, with all kinds of other messaging that could be going on just because we didn't step up when we needed to. So I think time is of the essence. They don't age well. When there's a problem, they generally get worse.
Yeah. Yeah. They get worse. Right. And then you even have a harder time confronting, or maybe sometimes you're like, oh, well, now we're not going to talk about that. And then it'll rear its head at another time. Number three, thou shalt stick to the issue at hand. No piling on here. So when you have an issue or a grievance with somebody, like we're not gonna unload all of them at one time. Be specific and use examples. And I think this is really key. Even though this is simple, let me tell you, this is something that I don't do very well. Like I, sometimes I let things go and then it builds up. And then all of a sudden I'm like, well, we're having this conversation. Let's just have it. And let me have all of it. Right. And that's not serving myself, or it's not serving the individual that I'm having these conversations with. Well, and so I've got to stick to the issue at hand. That's number three.
I'm laughing because I'm hearing myself say, and another thing,
that's right. Yeah.
blah, 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 blah. And another thing. Yeah, just no piling on. That would be good. Number four, thou shalt make thy point and not repeat it.
Yeah.
That really is about don't harp on the problem. Make your point, seek feedback. Don't keep circling back to re-drill the point over and over again. It it's not good manners, and it really can cause people, you won't get the benefit that you're looking for about having a confrontation. It'll really feel like you're really pounding on someone.
Yeah, I call this politicizing. I think if we can learn to do this, not only in this particular situation, but leaders, even in meetings, if we can keep people from politicizing, it'll save you a lot of time, and your conversations will be a lot more effective. Well, number five, thou shalt deal only with actions that can be changed. Remember, what we want in ourselves and we want with our people is we're going after behavioral change. Mm-hmm. And so focus on the behaviors that are at hand or that are driving this conversation, and don't make it personal. It's about the behaviors, not the individual. And I know some people are going to say, well, that's hard to separate. And I can understand that, but make sure the examples that you're using and the conversation is driven by the behaviors of which you see, or the ones that you want to confront.
Right, right. Don't make it personal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number six, thou shalt avoid sarcasm, especially in an email or text. Actually, humor needs to be really careful. I don't even think it has a place. Pretty much when you're confronting someone, it can be very confusing to someone, but words and tone matter. Don't joke or be sarcastic. It could be seen as almost a personal attack if done that way. So we want to make sure that we maintain the seriousness of the conversation without resulting to being sarcastic with someone, I think.
Yeah, the other comment I put on here in my notes was, or in a meeting. You know, you said don't do this, right, in an email or a text, or even in front of people or in a meeting, don't be sarcastic. And I got to be careful. I got to watch this one, because I tend to go that way, and I'm trying to get a laugh or two or get a point across. And there's really no place for it, to your point, in a email, text, or in a meeting with other people. Well, number seven, thou shalt avoid words like always and never, because that's very rarely ever accurate. And I'm laughing, not laughing. I'm smiling and I'm thinking, oh man, I do this, right? What I do is when I hear always and never, what is my response? My response automatically goes, always? Like always do that? Like I never do that? And so I don't really go and dissect the root or the cause that we're talking about. I go into those words and I'll be like, that's pretty strong, like always and never. And so I think this is a good tip right here in a commandment. Of we shouldn't use those two words when we're confronting somebody. The issue speaks for itself. And then, you know, you won't be taken seriously if you insist on using those words, because I'm just going to check out if I hear those two words, because that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, they open the door for argument. They open the door for disagreement.
Right.
There's just no need to open that door. Be more precise with your words.
Yeah.
Number eight, thou shalt ask questions and offer suggestions. I like this one a lot, is that thinking through how I confront someone is not to lecture or to scold or to shame, but instead asking questions, look for positive intent. Maybe I don't understand what went, you know, we all have different perspectives on what happened. Am I listening to the other perspective, or have I already decided that it's one way? And so if I ask good questions, assume positive intent, my motive again is helping the person to grow and improve, then it really is, I'm looking for a way to help you, not to be right or to win, but I'm trying to help you. And I'm going to ask questions to get clarity, and I'm going to offer suggestions to move us forward.
That's good. Number nine, thou shalt not apologize for the confrontation.
Ooh, I wonder what you thought about that one. Yeah, what do you think about that one?
Like, you don't want to reduce the importance of the conversation that you're about to have. And so it's not that you want to come in, you want to have a positive approach with it. But if you apologize, you're reducing the importance, again, of the conversation you have. So have you need to have the conversation. So don't apologize for having that conversation. Don't apologize for confronting the behavior that of the conversation that you want to, because you don't want to apologize for something that is accurate that you need to have, because it'll just diminish what you're trying to have a conversation about.
Yeah, I think I do this. It's kind of not even, like you said at the top, trying to be liked or not hurt people's feelings, or I'm trying to be friendly in this. So I'll say, I'm sorry, I have to have this conversation with you. I'm sorry, we have to talk about this. And I think, why am I sorry? I'm here to address the situation, but I'm trying to soften it somehow, or to make myself feel better in the midst of it. It's really, I like that one. Don't apologize.
Yeah.
Finally, number 10, thou shalt remember to highlight the person's positive contributions. And I like this one as well, is that we want to, and to your point a minute ago, address the behavior, but affirm the person. And sometimes if you're confronting someone to them, if you've ever been confronted, it can make you seem like everything's wrong, everything's a bad, everything you do, it's not. It's generally a situation. And if you haven't let it go on too long, it's probably an isolated situation. Yeah. And so can you just address that with while still affirming the person and their positive contribution to the team? We made a mistake, or we had a failure, or we dropped the ball. That's okay. We're going to learn from it, but we're going to move forward from that. But you're still a good person. And we want to do everything we can to preserve, as you said on the last podcast, I think, about protect the connection, regardless of the content, to do that. So make that connection the prime thing, and then the content is the content on that. Why don't you go ahead and wrap it up for us?
Yeah, as I wrap up and we kind of close this session of the 10 commandments of confrontation, I hope there were a couple that you look at and you say, that's going to help me. Like I need to really evaluate, how do I handle that? And maybe write this list down even before you get ready to go into having a tough conversation with somebody and work through them. I think they're simple, but as I mentioned earlier, very profound in how to be able to confront somebody. And the other thing I want to mention, there's two things as I kind of wrap up here. Make sure that you tie the values of your company to those conversations. As you think about the behavior that you're talking about, not the person, it's always good to bring in the values of the company. If there's an alignment there, that where there's confrontation, to say, hey, this doesn't align with the values and the behavior of our organization, and that's why we need to look at this. And when you do that, it makes it even more about the behavior and not aligning with the values than it actually does the individual. And so if your values inside your organization are well known and they're strong and they're talked about often, which by the way, they should be, then you can tie those conversations to the values. One of ours is exceeding expectations. And so you could use that, and I could use that as a part of my conversation. The other thing is, as we begin thinking about this, a lot of this was others focused, and it should be, because how do we do that? But remember, as leaders, we're 50% of every situation, of every problem, of every conversation, not more, not less. There's 50% of it's us, 50% is the other. So make sure you're being fully accountable to your side of it as well. Make sure you evaluate that and talk about that through your confrontation. And I think that'll be very beneficial when you have those conversations.
Thanks, Chris. Great stuff. And as a reminder, if you'd like to see that list of 10, I've put those in the learner guide today. You can also leave a question or a comment if you do all that at maxwellleadership.com/podcast. We always love hearing from you, and we're very grateful you'd spend this time with us. That's all today from the Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.